and welcome to Seven Stars, Seven Siblings, and One White Tree, a Tolkien podcast hosted by the Wheeler family, because this is what we do when we want to create things.
Yes. Hey, I'm Quincy Wheeler, and I'm the oldest of the seven Wheeler siblings. And what we thought would be pretty neat is to all get together and talk about collectively, I would say our favorite book. I'm sure we each have maybe different books that might be top of the list or here or there, but our favorite book as a family, The Lord of the Rings by J.R.R. Tolkien. And so on this podcast, we'd like to be able to look at that a little bit, see how it's been a part of our lives, look at different aspects of the book and the characters and different incarnations of it on film and radio, and then maybe branch a little bit into literature here and there, but all in a fun package of hearing from seven siblings talking about our different perspectives. So as I mentioned, I'm Quincy. I'm the eldest child, son of Harley, son of Mary, of Columbus, Ohio, originally. And what I would say about The Lord of the Rings for me that stands out is that every morning I get up and I thank God for my wife and my two beautiful baby boys. And I thank God that Nicolas Cage turned down the part of Aragorn in the Lord of the Rings movies. I have been rereading the books at least once a year. I found recently an audiobook to listen to, and I listen to it to go to sleep all the time. They're just wonderful books that help me think better about life, about what God has called me to do in this life, and about literature. And so I'm excited to share my love of that with you and with my siblings.
Hi, I'm Noelle. I'm the second oldest and the oldest girl. I first read The Lord of the Rings when I was 11, and I was like, wow, this is the best story I've ever read. I probably won't ever read a better story. I still stand by that, and I'm okay with that. I do love all kinds of different stories. I'm into novels, comics, anime, manga, radio shows, musicals, movies, TV. So, yeah, I have pretty wide taste. Lord of the Rings is definitely top. I enjoy living with two of my sisters here and our collection of pets. And I also enjoy my job as a medical laboratory scientist, which isn't really related to Lord of the Rings. But I will say Tolkien's very good at describing injuries and illness. So anyway.
I feel like Saruman probably had some laboratory assistants.
Were they orcs? All right. Well, hi, I'm Nadia. I'm the third oldest sibling, and I recently celebrated leaving those troublesome tweens and turning 33. Having reached a settled age for a hobbit, I decided to celebrate by staying in my hobbit hole in quarantine and trying to get through the Silmarillion. Even though I love Lord of the Rings, it's my favorite book, continues to be my favorite book ever. Still haven't got through the Silmarillion, so that might be part of this podcasting journey. I admit I haven't got too far yet. So I also was rereading parts of my favorite parts from the book, which would include any parts with Frodo and Sam, and The Field of Cormallon, which was the first thing I ever read that really made me cry. I read that part of the book, and then I shut the book, because I'm like, well, I don't want this to be over, and I feel like it almost is. So I just love the books, and I really love the poetry. I've definitely dabbled in like creating tunes for some of the salt poems and just memorizing them. So that's one of the things that I really love. I also was an English major in college, and I kind of chose classes specifically to see if it would let me study Tolkien, and it did work once. I got to read Return of the King at school and write a paper about it, which was great, even though I definitely judged the professor a lot for calling Aragorn Aragon quite a few times, and I was like, stop. And I love the books, and I also love the movies, and I kind of like to reminisce. I was there, Gandalf. I was there before the movies started being made, and you could go on the internet, search for Lord of the Rings, and read practically every website that existed about it. That is not the case now. So I love talking about the movies and books and analyzing literature.
I am Micaiah. I'm no relation. No, I'm the other brother, and much like hobbits, I enjoy good food, good cheer, and hopefully leaving this a merrier world. I really don't have much else to say besides that, except I would like to give a shout out to Faramir, son of Denethor, for being the younger and wiser brother. That's all.
I feel targeted.
I just Faramir is a great character. I just want to shout out to him. That's all.
I concur.
You're a better looking brother too.
This is a great time for me to come in. I'm Elizabeth. I'm the fifth of seven, and Faramir is my favorite character of all time and will never be replaced as such. I'm not the middle child, but I'm the middle child in age, with Quincy 10 years older than me and Eden 10 years younger than me, which age gap meant by the time I was born and conscious, everyone in the family was already a Lord of the Rings fan. And I knew the entire plot, all the major characters, and most of the minor characters before I could read. By the time I did get around to reading it, it did take me probably 3 years because I am one of the slower readers in the family. But it was, of course, 100% worth it. In my personal opinion, as far as my relationship with the Lord of the Rings, Tolkien set the bar so high for characters that I have just been chasing down every possible series that would give me the same amount of characters that I love and care about, and that's what I'm always trying to find in media and in my own writing and creation. As I mentioned, big Faramir lover before I even read the book. And also, sadly, the only thing that gives me real pain in the movies has to be addressed right off the bat. But speaking of the movies, big fan of those as well, and apparently my special topics on this podcast are supposed to be things like cinematography and design because I get paid for them or something, but like, I'm really just here to kibitz because that's what I do. Go ahead, Sonora.
Hi, I'm Sonora. I am the second youngest of all the siblings. I'm 20 years old, and similar to Elizabeth, I grew up always knowing about Lord of the Rings. I grew up watching movies, and pretty much, yeah, knowing everything about the books and movies before I could even read. The way I started reading the books was because I literally got paid to read the books by my siblings. So I was not a very big reader. So, like, I will pay you $5 a book to read the books. So I read all 4 books and got $20. But besides that, I really, really enjoy the books because it's very special to my heart. And it was something that I could bond with my dad over. We're on long car trips. We would talk about all the background characters with Lord of the Rings and the Silmarillion. I really enjoy doing that, as well as Eowyn's my girl. Eowyn's my character. And I love her. And so that was always a ton of fun. And yeah, I just love the books and the movies, and all the Hobbit movies were great too.
I didn't get paid to read the books.
No.
Not like completely. Bogged down in the middle of two towers. I a little money would have helped me get through it.
It was
rough. I completely forgot we paid her. I forgot.
You did.
And then when she got done and she loved them, she was not generous enough to say, thank you guys. Let me pay you $20.
I just put
the sure. Oh, yeah.
And it was all who paid me.
I also want to chime in at this moment and say that Sonora is the one who we taught to say Boromir as one of her first words.
Boromir, I love him. I loved Boromir when I was a kid, and they didn't tell me he died.
So you didn't know quite everything that happened.
I didn't know quite everything.
Oh, I remember the dread that we all had of the moment that Sonora would find out that Boromir died in the first movie and book. Oh, I remember that now. I'd forgotten.
Yeah, she had a little toy that she would carry around of him too, which was very sweet. And yeah,
Boromir's good too.
Boromir's cool.
Anyway,
your turn.
Hi, I'm Eden. I'm the youngest of siblings, and just like them, I grew up hearing all about Lord of the Rings. And I think I read it when I was 11.
Yeah.
I'm a fast reader. I don't remember when I finished it. I finished The Hobbit fairly quickly. I
think she finished The Two Towers in, I believe, less than 48 hours.
Yeah.
That's what I want.
Yeah, I'm a very fast reader. I really like all the Hobbits. That's my favorite characters in there. Lord of the Rings is special because I love fantasy, and Tolkien has done the best fantasy that I've read. And apparently I describe like him because I notice that when I write stuff.
Yes,
I like
do.
To write. I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing.
Oh, it's a good thing. It's a good thing to be.
It's a good thing.
That's bad.
I realized I could not be Tolkien while I wrote, and it kind of made me sad, but it's okay. Not
we all went through that at some point in our writing careers.
Yeah, same.
Apparently no one can be, so I guess we're in good company. I was going to say, I read Lord of the Rings first when I was 9 years old, And then I remember I went and spoiled it to all my sisters because I just couldn't stop talking about it. And I felt kind of bad about that, trying not to do that to my children.
The whole reason I read them is because you guys spoiled me on them. So
this is the part of the podcast where we describe which Palantir each one of us are, right?
What?
I would request to not be affiliated with Denethor, if he is the worst.
Well, I was going to say, Elizabeth, because I always joke that you have Sauron's personality, that you're clearly the Palantir of Barad-dûr.
I can take that.
The all-seeing eye.
This is
I'll be the creepy burning hands. It's fine.
The creepy burning hands. Well, they're not all accounted for.
Did I mention some brilliant guys?
I'm claiming Denethor's because sometimes I'm unnervingly good at predicting bad outcomes, even though I'm not necessarily. I'm pretty optimistic, but I'm not bad at sometimes. I can see things coming that aren't great.
Just be a better parent than he was. You'll be fine. Denethor.
I feel like I would be Pippin being like, hey, this sounds like a good idea. Let's do it.
No, I feel like I'm Pippin.
Sorry, you probably are. I feel like I'm at Aragorn where I'm like, I'm going to do this for the good of others, but it also made me very sad, you know, kind of
depressed. There's one affiliated with Weathertop, right? That's not any of the other ones that we've brought up?
Yes. No. I mean, they're not all listed in Lord of the Rings, but yeah, there's supposed to be one for Weathertop.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, I know a lot of stuff. I have, even though I haven't read the Silmarillion, I've definitely read a lot of the ancillary material for Lord of the Rings, and like Wendy was writing it, and I started reading his narrative poem of Beren and Luthien, and then had to finish it in Silmarillion because it ended right as Luthien was going into Morgoth's lair with Huan, who is definitely the best character ever.
Just because doesn't mean I remember any of it.
Juan the Hound may be the best character in all of Tolkien literature. I mean, when you think about, like, they're spending the Lord of the Rings trying to figure out how to defeat Sauron, and Juan just did it. I mean, he was just like, hey, Sauron, you're a wolf? I'll tear your throat out.
I think we can also agree that Tolkien was definitely a dog person based on what he wrote in the Which I am for that. I'm more of a dog person, as my really fluffy puppy will agree.
But the dragons are sometimes described kind of like cats, which I can get behind because I love cats and dragons. So we're all
dragons are evil though.
I'm here for the Oliphant.
I know one thing that we'd mention is that our dad encouraged us to read the Lord of the Rings, and certainly our mom and our dad are both. A big part of our love of literature and love of Lord of the Rings. So as part of this podcast, we will be trying to intersperse them a bit, maybe hear a little trivia from our dad, who is a Lord of the Rings expert, I would say, and then hear a little mom advice for folks from Middle Earth from our mom. So you'll get a chance to meet them. Maybe some other family members at some point. We have an uncle in San Francisco who kind of sounds like a wizard, I think. So we should definitely talk to him at some point.
Accurate.
maybe is a wizard.
We should probably mention, since we found out that our grandfather who has passed away also read the Lord of the Rings, that we are third generation.
Oh yeah.
he was described as an omnivorous reader, and that was how he happened upon it, I believe.
Yeah, we definitely fall in line there. Well, I know that we were trying not to go too long on this podcast, but we wanted to talk a little bit about one of the main happenings in the Lord of the Rings lately, which in the Lord of the Rings world lately, I should say, which is the sad passing of Ian Holm, who played Frodo on the BBC radio adaptation and also played Bilbo in Lord of the Rings and then older Bilbo in the Hobbit movies. So I know that some of us had some thoughts on Ian Holm.
Well, I just kind of wanted to bring up, I was sort of a geek and I did some research. I was reading a lot of people that work with him, like Peter Jackson and some of the actors would post tributes to him. And I noticed that among them would always pop up the word twinkle. So like Peter Jackson wrote, you know, Ian was such a delightful, generous man, quiet but cheeky with a lovely twinkle in his eye. And, you know, Dominic Monaghan, who played Mary, would just talk about so full of twinkles, so good at it all, Marie, Uncle Bilbo. And then his agent also says, like, his sparkling wit always accompanying mischievous twinkle in his eye. I just feel like that kind of summed him up to me when he played Bilbo. He just, like, kind of embodied that idea of, like, somebody who twinkles and has that little bit of magic and that extra something, that kind of, that tookishness that Bilbo has on top of his being a Baggins. I feel like Bilbo's one of my favorite characters. My first pet was named Bilbo. He was somebody that I kind of glommed onto as a child, as a character that I really liked. And so I wasn't sure how I would feel about the portrayal of him in the movies, because I also love the animated Bilbo, but he really, from the first moment, sold me on Bilbo, that he really understood him, and he brought out that, you know, that cheekiness and that, you know, little twinkle in his eye. When I saw him in the movies, I loved him. Never looked back.
I see, and I'm gonna more focus on his performance as Frodo in the radio program, because that is amazing. I really, really love the radio program a ton. And it was so cool the way, because it's a different Frodo than what you typically see in the movie, which is like a whole different topic in itself, but due to the way it was closer to the book and the way it was written, his Frodo gets more of the quiet strength and the thought that Frodo puts into his actions. I think some of my favorite scenes in there, and the ones I couldn't do because of the way the movie changed some of the things, was between him and Faramir, and they really got how they were intellectual equals, and they're kind of like game back and forth to figure out what the other one is thinking, and then eventually the friendship. Also, I really, really love Bill Nye's Sam, so them together is really, really good in the radio programs, and
yeah.
Just some absolutely magical scenes there. The Gollum's good too, so that... Yeah, but I just also want to say he sometimes, in both the movies and the radio program, has this adorable little stutter. I live for the adorable little stutter.
Yeah.
It's like, it just adds to the dialogue.
I don't want to hate on the movies, but also that scene with him and Bill Nye where they talk about stories is amazing and not very well done in the movies. I love the movies, but not my favorite part. I feel like they kind of cut that one down so much it didn't make it quite as well. However, you can always listen to it on the radio program, and Ian Holm kills it. It's amazing, along with Bill Nye.
Also, yeah, Oh, go ahead, Noah.
He isn't afraid to scream and sound a little, like, over the top on the radio program, which I probably is appropriate for radio.
I do remember that.
Yeah.
One of the things that I was going to say about Ian Holm's portrayal of Bilbo that I liked a lot in The Fellowship of the Ring is I just think that in the books, the moment where Bilbo gives up the ring is such a crucial moment. And like Gandalf's really trying to work on that moment to make sure it doesn't destroy Bilbo and it can actually be done. And, you know, Bilbo and Sam are the only people that give up the ring, and that seems like in the world that would give up the ring willingly. And when he does, I just think Ian Holm really nails that scene, how it's so difficult for him to do it, but then as soon as he does it, he's like, I've thought up an ending for my book. And it just, I think it just really nailed the character, how he portrayed that scene and gave you the significance of that moment. And also, I mean, that the whole moment kind of shows you, like, this is what we're trying to get rid of with the ring. It's this darkness and heaviness and load on existence and draws you away from the person you're supposed to be. And we got to get rid of this thing. Nobody can use it. Gandalf can't use it. You know, nobody can use this thing. We've got to get rid of it. And it gives you hope that it can happen when Bilbo's willing to give it up.
I want to talk about Ian Holm goes through a lot of different kinds of Bilbos just in his very brief time that he's in the movies, because you get to see Bilbo as you assume is like status quo Bilbo. But then like you get to Rivendell and it's old Bilbo and he's completely different just because he's lost the ring. And then you get back at the end of Return of the King and it's very old Bilbo. Which then becomes even cooler when you add the Hobbit movies, and Martin Freeman, as we all know, is just an absolute gem, and
he's amazing.
Probably one of the best leading characters I've ever seen in a movie, and it makes me wish we could have more Ian Holm and just connect between Martin Freeman and Ian Holm, And I liked the I think in Peter Jackson's story, he was talking about how thankfully Martin Freeman and Ian Holm did get to meet each other, at least at the premiere. Because Ian Holm couldn't come out and film in New Zealand. But I'm sure Martin Freeman is his own person and can make anything his own, but I'm sure he was at least somewhat referencing Ian Holm because he is just a great actor.
That moment at the end when he looks at the ring is kind of freaky for me, how much he reminds me of Ian Holm. I feel like he walks that line really well. Sorry, Sonara, I think you were going to say something.
Good. No, yeah, I was just going to elaborate on the... It is really fun for me watching Ian Holm during the Lord of the Rings movies, how, as Elizabeth said, he goes from really young Bilbo to older Bilbo to really old Bilbo. As an actor, because I act myself actually and then all of us act, it's really fun for me to see that and take off of that. But also, I really did like how he captured Bilbo's cheekiness, because especially I'm reading through the Lord of the Rings, and it's really fun reading about Bilbo and how he acted. It was a little petty, but really fun with the other hobbits. I think Ian did that really well.
I think Scary Face Bilbo has to be addressed.
Scary Face Bilbo has to be addressed.
It's terrifying. I don't think I was allowed to look at it.
No, you weren't.
When I was really little, I wasn't allowed to see that scene.
Okay, yeah, Eden. Okay, just a second, Eden. A lot of things that my mom and dad would be like, don't watch this, it's scary. It would be more scary in my imagination.
Same.
I saw it on screen. Is that the case with Scary Bilbo or not?
I don't remember. But it was the case with a lot of other scenes. I was going to say, like, for the acting stuff, for actors with Martin Freeman there, I just want to say the casting choices are spot on because Martin Freeman looked like a younger version of him.
Oh, yeah, he did.
Very convenient that way since they're both excellent actors.
Yes.
Yes.
Did anyone else read the thing Peter Jackson was writing about working with Ian Holm, that he had Parkinson's and that story about they got together and they thought, Peter Jackson thought he'd be selling him his part, Ian Holm thought he'd be saying no gracefully, and they both worked together so they can actually film something for The Hobbit. That was cool.
We're all very thankful for that again. Yeah.
If you listen to this podcast and you don't like the Lord of the Rings movies and you don't like the Hobbit movies, I'm afraid you're going to get challenged because we all like the movies. You know, I was just reading.
I was just going to chime in for 1 second in the middle of your comment. We just love Lord of the Rings in any form. More Lord of the Rings is always a good thing.
I don't know that I would say
that one cartoon movie was weird.
Yeah, we're gonna discuss that stuff later, guys.
Okay, different podcast.
Actually,
there are some fan fiction I'm not a fan of. I was gonna say
that I'm a fan of.
Yeah, the Lord of the Rings movies. I was reading about this article where somebody was talking about Lord of the Rings. This is not a good way to cite it on a podcast, I suppose. But it was saying, like, oh, the movies were too, you know, they weren't willing to dive into the deep themes of Lord of the Rings. They were too, you know, built for popular cinema. And so that definitely is not our perspective. I even though we might disagree with some of the changes that they made to characters or plot, I think the movies were really good adaptations, but I know we'll talk about that at some point, but I thought maybe that's something that people would kind of want to know our perspective on.
The one thing I forgot to put in my bio that I'm really into is sewing and cosplay, because I was going to say my first main cosplay, like actually try to dress up and replicate a costume, was Bilbo. And that costume is super comfy. Let's say, cosplay-wise, that thing has so many pockets, it's so easy to move around in. Yeah, would recommend Bilbo. Well, yeah,
what did you have in your pocket, sis?
That was a convention, like, everything.
And string, knife. Right,
probably. Yes,
everything.
Probably not knife.
I mean, yeah, I don't know, wrap up on Ian Holm, but yeah, I just were very thankful that they found him from the movies and that he was able to also do the radio program. I think he contributed a lot to, like, you know, the Lord of the Rings and pop culture. I feel like he's pretty iconic as Bilbo, I think. When I was reading a lot of people giving him tributes, they definitely brought that up, and even the news sites would kind of cite that first. But it's also funny because he was, as far as acting goes, I don't know if you guys read the story, like, when he was part of the Shakespeare Company in England, and so he kind of stopped in the middle of a role because he just got so much stage fright and he kind of had sort of a breakdown and couldn't do theater. And then he just went to movies and it worked out for him, and he eventually came back and started doing theater. But it was one of those things where I'm like, that'd be hard to get over as an actor, but he did, you know, and just was able to bring all those iconic characters to life. So I'm just really thankful that he was able to do that.
Yeah, that's great. He was certainly an amazing man, and hope that he rests in peace and pray for peace for his family. And I also liked him in Chariots of Fire.
And he was fun in Alien. I actually
liked him, yeah.
But I really liked him in Alien. I'll probably get hate for not saying I'm the hugest fan of Alien.
Oh, well. Yeah, from the three people that listen to this. I think probably one important thing we missed is that Noelle forgot to say that she's the actual only Hobbit of the siblings. And
yeah, okay.
Some of us, Micaiah and I, have our own little Hobbits right now in our children. But Noelle, you know, she's the only Hobbit among us all.
She lives and breathes the Hobbit life.
Let me finish. Am I 4 inches shorter or 6 inches shorter than all the rest of you?
4 inches. Sonara is the next tallest. It's 5'4".
Yeah.
I'm 5'3".
Oh, 3 inches. Never mind. I was giving Sonara a generous inch.
Thank you, though.
I might not quite be 5 feet, but we'll ignore that.
All right. Well, this was great, guys. And we'll talk again soon. All right, here we are for a little Tolkien trivia with Dad. This is Quincy, and I have my dad, Harley, on the phone. Hi.
Hi.
So remind me real quick before we ask the trivia question, who introduced you to the Lord of the Rings?
My brother, Paul, I'm sure.
Oh, wow.
Or it could have been Brother Charles, but Brother Paul, yeah, yeah.
And you think probably if Uncle Paul introduced it to you, then probably Uncle Charles introduced it to Uncle Paul.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. We'll have to track that down in future episodes, I think. But today I have a trivia question for you. And unfortunately, we don't have our huge set of great book trivia, so I had to look online. And let me tell you, the online trivia quizzes you would crush. But we have this nice board game that we'll get some good questions from in the future. But my question for today is, can you tell me what Frodo wished for when he came to the Black Gate?
Oh, a whole bunch of white elephants with Gandalf on a white one at their head.
You're right. That's it. Nice. You'd nail it. It's a funny image, too, when you kind of hear that quote.
That is true, yeah.
Elephants with Gandalf on a white one at their head. Being pretty intimidating, honestly.
Yeah.
All right, thanks. We'll check in with you next time.
Okay, thanks. Yep.
This is the section of our podcast we're calling Mom Advice for Middle-Earthians, and I have my mom, Mary, on the line. And how are you doing today, Mom?
Good. I'm doing good.
What is it like having 7 kids obsessed with the Lord of the Rings?
It's a good thing. Lord of the Rings has very good morals, so I'm glad about that.
All right. Now, as Mom, I know that you oftentimes offer up advice for characters as we watch the movies or as we would read the books. I wondered if you might share with us some of your motherly advice for Gollum.
He should wear more clothes. He should be nicer. He really should. You know, if he'd just be nice to people, they would be nice to him. So he should just be nicer, and he should definitely put a lot more clothes on and eat normally. That would also be nice.
Well, I mean, the poor guy's been tortured by the ring for several hundred years. I think that's kind of maybe warped his personality for a bit.
True, but he could still be nicer. being nicer would be good.
And ruined his fashion sense, apparently.
Yes. Also, you know, if he'd be nice to Sam, Sam would be nice to him.
That is some good advice. Okay, thanks. We'll check in with you next time.
All right.
Thank you for listening to Seven Stars, Seven Siblings, and One White Tree, a Tolkien podcast. This episode was produced by Elizabeth Wheeler and Micaiah Wheeler, and was edited by Micaiah Wheeler. Our executive producers were Quincy Wheeler and Nadia Wheeler. Our music was from purpleplanet.com. That's purple-planet.com. If you liked our show, please share it with your friends, rate, review, and come back next time. And thank you for your support. This has been an Unwashed Bear production.
I'm not making it in the podcast.
That makes it in the podcast.
No, I think we had already reached an ending.
Seven Siblings, Seven Stars, and One... Wait, nope, other way around. This has been Seven Stars, Seven Siblings, and One White Tree.
Okay, everyone, say goodbye, all right?
All right, bye.
Bye. Bye, Alan.